Let the church say amen. So glad to see you back tonight to hear another portion of God's holy and divine word. We thank Brother Ken for leading us in song and Brother Odell for his prayer, and especially on my behalf. I appreciate that so very much. And once again, it's good to see you in the house of God to learn another portion of his holy and divine word. On this morning, the young man, Andre Moore, did an outstanding job. Amen?
Amen.
And we had mentioned that he had given some names that we had was looking to correct. And I think I need to correct a correction. He spoke with me afterwards, very humble, as the young man that he presented himself to be. And Ellen White, that he had mentioned, wrote many books for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That was correct. I thought I heard Davis, but it was not. It was White. And then I inserted Mary Baker Eddy, which is Christian Science. It had nothing to do with Seventh-day Adventist. And then I may have heard, at least I thought I did, heard him say Simmons as opposed to Joseph Smith with the Mormon Church, but I probably misheard there too. So all in all, we're going to say that young man made no mistake at all. We'll place it squarely on me. And he really did a wonderful job. Did you know that he was preaching without notes? Very impressive young man. So you get a chance to see him again. You encourage he and his wife. I know they had a great time being here at Arlington, but I did tell him that I will correct the record tonight when I had opportunity to speak to you. So we appreciate all that he done for us. Appreciate your patience. And God is always good to us. Our text tonight will be in Matthew chapter 25. We can turn there. And we're going to look at a series of scriptures there, present those as our text. It is the Holy Bible gives us. And then, as always, we're going to look to make our application to that lesson. But before we get to that lesson, I mentioned to you this morning that wanted you to come back, that we wanted to talk about something that was kind of personal, and it is. And as we go through this lesson, we will find that to be true as we get into this lesson. But let me preface it in the beginning by saying and using this as an example, if you will, as we go through our everyday lives, sometimes we get injured, sometimes we get cut, right? Good to see you, Brother Calvin. I just saw him, and we're glad to see you. Been praying for you, brother. Sometimes you get a cut on your hand, and there's a scab that comes over it, right? And then if you mess with that scab, you come out, you reopen that sore. Well, this lesson is kind of like that, but there is no scab on this sore. But sometimes, if the mark is great enough, it'll leave a mark, will it not? It will always remind you of that little cut that you had. And this lesson tonight is going to tie into that. We're going to talk about something that has not given us, per se, a scale, but it certainly have left a mark on us. And it'll make sense to you a little bit more as we get into our lesson. But at Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse number 31, very familiar to a lot of us. We want to look at, again, these and make some comments and make sure that we always understand the context in which God has given us his word. And then, as I mentioned, we'll make our application. But in verse number 31, the Bible says, "And the Lord is speaking, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory." The Lord is coming back, as the Bible says, and he will sit on his throne, just as the Bible says. But I notice in that reading, in verse 31, the Bible says that the Lord is going to come back with all of his holy angels. Every one of them will be with Jesus. They'll be not left behind to tend to other things. On this great day that the Bible is making reference to, all of his angels. Now, I don't know how many legions. Maybe it's a number that man can't count. I don't know. But I know this much. They all will be there with the Lord, as the Bible says, when he sits on his throne. The Bible says at verse number 32, "All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." The Lord is going to come back, and there's going to be a separation. The Bible says the Lord is going to give us an idea how a shepherd will go in and separate his sheep from the goat. Now, there's a difference between a sheep and a goat, right? Sure. Brother Bill has given us an excellent lesson, several lessons on the sheep and the nature of them and how docile they are. And you know, they're not really a problem. They need taking care of. On the other hand, there's a goat, you see, who's a little bit different, right? Who's a little bit more stubborn and going to have his way and hard-headed. And we've associated things like that today with a goat, right? He got your goat, for one thing they may say when somebody makes you angry, as an example. So there's a difference. And the Bible says that the Lord is going to come back and he's going to divide all them from the sheep from the goat. He goes on to say in verse number 33, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Now, I don't know where you sit in the night, but I think I want to be on the right hand of the Lord, you see. Now, your right is my left is your right. But the Bible is saying that the Lord is going to separate that which is good, the sheep, is going to be on his right hand. And that which is not is going to be on his left. Now, verse number 34 says this. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you bless of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That is great news for those who will be on the right hand of our Lord. Amen. That is great news, because when you begin to look at this life has had many ups and downs, isn't that right? Many disappointments, heartbreaks, suffering, beat downs, you name it, we've gone through it in this life. And many times people have come along and that evil one has gotten our head and say, what's the use? Everything that you touch, you turn out to be rough and wrong anyway. What's the use? Why worship the Lord? But yet we have hung in there. We have said that God is going to deliver. God is faithful in what he says. And therefore, I will hang in there. It's going to be a glorious day for those on the right hand of the Lord when he comes back. There'll be no more suffering, as we see. We have kept the faith. And that's what it's all about, right? When I look at a Sunday night crowd, wherever I go, you see, I look at people who are probably more determined in their minds to keep the faith. Why? Just a little thing they do and say, God's word is going to be taught. I think I'll be present because I just might learn something that I don't know. It's important to come back, you see. Not because the elders say so, the elders dictate it. It's an opportunity to come back and hear God's word once again. And you don't know, as I said many times, people come to church many times and they're heartbroken. You know, it's been a real struggle for you to be here. And you know, you're not feeling your greatest. But you never know what you mean to someone else. To come out and to see you and say, man, you know, I'm having a terrible time. But good old faithful brother there. Good old faithful sister there. There they are. They're an encouragement to me. You never know the good that you will do. The Bible says in verse number 35, he says, for when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. All the good things you see that is being done. And that's what I just mentioned. You don't know what good you've been that you're doing. You don't know how you've lifted someone else's spirit, you see. The Lord is saying to them, you know, you came and you fed me, you gave me drink, and you visited me when I was in the hospital, you visited me when I was in prison. You did all these good things, you see, because of him. Now, when people come, and I want you to hear me on this, because we're in the Arlington area, right? And a lot has changed in the Arlington area through the years. There was a time that Arlington was a very safe place to live. Things are changing now. We are in the midst of it. And we're not running from anything. Everybody needs the gospel. But it has changed. And because it has changed, you and I need to change our way of thinking as well. It's no longer that congregation. When I first came here 25 some years ago, it's not the same. Different people have come in, different ideas, they do different things. Right across the street, there's a big old, you know, window show glass that's been broken. You see it boarded up. Never saw that 25 years ago in this area. But it's different now. So we have to adjust our thinking as well. Many people come over from this congregation and the elders have said to you, now you are grown, responsible people, and you can do whatever you want with your monies, and that's not the point here. But when they come over and they begin to ask for things, and the good-hearted people that you are, and you are the greatest. You are the greatest. Many of you go in your pockets and give people what you have because they come to you and say, I'm hungry. That's what they say. I'm hungry. I have nothing to eat. I have my children. Things are bad. We're about to get kicked out. You know, and some of those things may be true. And true enough to your heart, to speak of you, you're saying, you know what? Because you know the Bible. That just may be the Lord that I'm helping out. And you do what you do. But we have to be wise, church, and understand that all of them that's coming up here, you see, they're not really hungry. And if they're thirsty, they thirst for something other than we wouldn't buy for them, you see. And we begin to wonder and ask and say, where did that money go? What are they going to do with it? All I'm saying is we need to be very careful. It is not a good thing to go in our pockets and give people money like that. Now, you may do it, but all you're doing is creating a situation with a person to return, and now the safety of everybody else is at stake. So we need to be wise. Best thing to do is to send those people to the elders, to the deacons. We'll speak with them and try to make a determination if we can help them or not. But God bless you for your good heart. You see, I know how you think. I know how you, you know, will reach out to other people. And it's a great thing. And that's why I'm glad I'm a part of this congregation for the great things that you do. You know, they said that Jesus said that as we began to look at the very great things that we do at this congregation, we need to understand. Verse 37 says, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? They don't even know the good that's being done. You see, that's the thing about doing good. You see, you do good long enough, good will find you. You can tell people, look, now I'm going to do this for you, but don't tell anybody. Somehow, some way, they're going to tell somebody, and the good is going to come back to you. What am I saying? You don't need to beat your own drum, blow your own trumpet, pat your own back. You don't need to do all that. You just do good, you see, and it will find you. I find all the time when I go out and visit members of the church, and you're sitting there and you're talking, and they begin to say, well, yeah, you know, sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so came over and did this for me. They did what? Oh, yeah, we have a great relationship. We've been doing this for X number of years. I never knew that. See, goodness just found that person. When you go out and help, and I thank God that Arlington has a group of people. As a group, we do just that. Amen. Go out and do good things, you see, and it always comes back. But God bless you for that, and we appreciate your efforts when you began to do that. The Bible says in verse number 40, and the king will answer and say, much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of scary to me. Because I see the same people come around that you do. I see the same people standing on the corner that say they're in need and I'm hungry and the signs. I see it all just like you. And I begin to wonder and say, you know, is this person legitimate? Do they really need money for food, and will they really spend it for that? You know, so we all have that. All we can do is pray and ask God to help us as much as we can, you see. I don't know about you. When I look at it, I don't know. Maybe I'm easy. When the heart is touched, I say there's a reason why the heart is touched. If I have it, I give it. If I don't, I don't. That's all I can do. Because I don't want to miss out on an opportunity to someone who needs, truly needs the help, but cannot get it. The Bible says in verse number 41, then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. What a condemnation that is given to those who did not love the Lord, who did not want to care for people, as the Bible says. They were greedy people. No matter what they saw, they may have saw a legitimate need and knew it was a legitimate need and refused to help because they're just not going to help. Jesus said in his word, as we look at verse number 41, he said, depart from me, you see, go into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. 42, For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they were answered, verse number 44. They also were answering him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Whenever you're asking Jesus questions, I can tell you right now, you're already in trouble. You're in trouble when you're asking Jesus questions, as if he does not have the answer, as if he does not know the intent of your heart. As in some way you can say, Lord, you misunderstood me. You see, I would have done this. I should have done this. No, Jesus knows the answer. I pray to God when I stand before him that I'm not trying to ask any questions at all. Lord, here I am. Lord, I have lived. I know I'm not perfect. I know I made mistakes. I need your mercy. I need your grace. I don't want to make any kind of defense for me. Because if I do, I know that I'm in trouble. The Bible says in verse 45, then he answered them, saying, surely I say to you as much, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I don't care what people say. That's going to be a great separation. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There is doing right and there is doing wrong. There's obeying the gospel and there's not obeying the gospel. You see, Jesus is coming and he's going to make this great separation. And no matter what man say in this world, as they look at you and I and say, you're so judgmental and how could you be so mean? It means nothing because you and I have nothing to do with it. God has given his word. His word is going to stand. And he's going to make decisions. He's going to gather everyone together. The Bible says nations individually. And he's going to make a separation. He's going to do that. Because the Bible said so. Now, as we look at that concept, the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 26, a great gulf fixed so that two groups will not be able to commingle. In other words, when you look at it, when he had that time and said, you know, let us come over. We can go over here. And we go, no. There will be a separation. And the gulf is so great that you won't be able to cross over. Right. You will not be able to say, well, maybe I can get lost and get over here. No, it won't be none of that. The gulf is too great. And it's going to be a separation. You and I have to decide which side we're going to be on the right hand of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and not on the left. Luke chapter 16, verse 26, if you wanted to read that. Now, to our application, and I'll give you our title for the lesson on tonight. Here's the title. As it relates to Arlington, all the sheep didn't stay, and all the goats didn't go. When we go back to our little dust up, if you will, our situation that we had where this church was at odds with one another. First of all, let's say this. Glory to God, victory to us because we listen to God, and that's the only reason why we're standing here today. The devil got busy, got in, and tried his best to destroy this congregation. Now, it was a sore, but it's no scab on there now, and that's why we can talk about it. Because we must simply look back and learn about what happened to us or what the devil tried to do. Many people have come in now that's new. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Good. You don't need to know what I'm talking about. But for those of us who are here who knows what I'm talking about, it was a trying time here. The devil tried his best to destroy and he lost. He lost. Because when we begin to look at our title again, as the Bible says, as I've stated in our title, all the sheep didn't stay, and all the goats didn't go. What did that tell us? There will always be a mixture of people in church, you see? Right. Some that's good, some that's bad. Some that won't obey, some that disobey. Right. Some that's soft-hearted, some that's hard-hearted. Right. We'll all be mixed together, you see? And that's why it's going to be a separation when we begin to look at our lives. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 says this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17.
For the time has come, judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Jesus is going to come and begin to judge this world, and he's going to start at the house of God. He's going to start at the church because there's a separation that needs to be made. All we can do is try our very best to live for God and make sure that we're on the right side and doing the things that he will have us to do. It was very painful, yes. And many of you said right afterwards, you know, if we can just only forget and move on. Might have been the right thing to do then. We were tired of it, you see. We were all suffering. Everybody was touched by that situation. But we hung in there. We did what God had us to do. And as a result of it, I believe with all my heart that we are closer.
Amen.
Had to be. We're closer. Because when you're not ripped apart, you come together. And when you look again at that title saying all the sheep didn't stay. Church, there were some good people that left here. They got caught up into that madness. They were good people. They still are good people. And we begin to look at our lives and we come in contact with these people again. We need to understand that God has the victory. The devil didn't win anything. But here's the thing, you know, we talked about the goats and some that didn't go, that stay around. Pray that they get better. Pray that all of us get better. You see, but don't make the mistake saying that all them that left, you know, that they were the ones. That's not true. I happen to know with people I have worked with for years, being a malcontent. That's not a bad word. That simply means you're not content. For whatever reason, husband don't want to be here, wife don't want to be here, whatever the case may be, you know, they weren't together. So they created a situation, you know, and when this thing just, was to flare up, it was an opportunity. And I went to him and say, don't leave now. If you leave now, it's going to be perceived as you're caught up in that madness. I know better, but don't leave now. Some chose to leave at that time. And sure enough, people view them as part of that. But that's not the case. You see, all the good sheep didn't stay. Some of them went away. And they're still faithful until this day. They are family to be treated that way. You see, and the whole purpose, and here's the purpose of this lesson. We need to understand that there are some people out there who used to go here who wants to come home. Did you hear me? And they would come home if it wasn't for you and I and what we present to them. And, you know, I remember, you don't know what's inside somebody's mind. But if you go out and you address the situation as I'm doing now, say, man, look, that was a bad time for us. And, you know, why did you leave? You know, you ought to come on back home.
Amen.
The family misses you. You see? Come on back home. You see, everything is fine. And they begin to have those conversations. Say, well, you know, I don't know. We have our doubts. What are your doubts? Jesus didn't draw a line in the sand.
Right.
Nor will the elders draw a line in the sand. And I want you to take back to them, because you're in their lives, you see them. The elders have not drawn any line in the sand as to who can come back here. As long as a person comes back faithful, that's all that we care about. Look, we all got problems. We all have misunderstandings. That's what a family is all about, right? If it's truly a family, as the Bible says, you get over it. Just like in your physical family. I can't stand my brother. I love him, but I don't like him. It gets on my nerves, right? It doesn't stop being your brother. And here in the church, do not stop being our brothers or our sisters in Christ. The deacons haven't drawn a line in the sand. The ministers haven't drawn a line in the sand. And I promise you, the elders have not drawn a line in the sand. So when you see these people out there, and here's where you come in, and you're having a conversation with them, I see some of them, I see it in their eyes. It's, man, you know, I'm so sorry that happened. You know, man, if that didn't happen, I still would be at Arlington. So I'm saying, why not?
Amen.
Why are you not at Arlington? That's the best place for you. Why not? Come on back home, you see, where we worship. And God, you know, God is loved and respected here. And the people care about one another. It's a great family. I feel bad for you that you're not here. You need to come on back home where you can be happy serving God, and then everything will be all right. You see, no longer scab. No longer scab, but a mark has been left. And we can learn from that mark. Make sure that it's never repeated again, you see, because the evil one is coming. And you know how he works. Lester Beans tells me all the time, a week doesn't go by that Lester would say to me, AC, are you listening? That's how I get my attention. Are you listening? Yes, Lester, I'm listening. He says, something big is getting ready to happen at Arlington. He said, I don't care about the numbers and what you see. God never dealt that with him. Something big, I'm telling you, is getting ready to happen at Arlington. Do you believe that? When we get more people thinking like that, you see, we will do great things. And the numbers will take care of themselves. If we are faithful, you see, some will come back. Some want to know. Some go out in these different places, man, they're walking around, their head spinning. As soon as you go in and hear the word of God, they come out of place, their head spinning. Too much going on. Too much glory being paid to man. Not enough to our God. And people are walking out, they say, what did we just do? When they roll through Arlington and they see that respect that we have for his word, the respect that we have for one another, is surely a place where they would want to be. And I don't know about you, but I let them all know. Man, look. People walk in that door, they say, well, I'm just visiting. You visiting? Oh, what you looking for? You looking for a church? I said, you're going to find one better than this. This is it. I said, now you can go on and look if you want, but the search is over. This is the best. This is the greatest congregation in this area. And they just laugh at me. Say, that guy, there you go. Just laugh. I'm dead serious. When you look at what the Arlington congregation brings to the table. Now, in order to do that, we got to have the attitude of a lamb, right?
That's right.
And not the attitude of a goat. If we behave in like goats, people will never will see the need to come back. People never see that, you know, it is a place that is warm and friendly and the word of God is being taught. When things are being said, you know, some people, I don't get this. Some people talk about congregations, right? And they may say something about your congregation, you sit right there and agree with them. No defense given at all. You know that brother AC, he has about two ties. And I know every Sunday he's going to wear one of those ties. It gets on my nerves. And that's why I don't want to go there. It has nothing to do with God's word. That's what we need to understand, you see. Give a defense of this place. It says a lot about you. You go here, do you not? How would I go to a place and say, man, I go there, man, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Right.
No, those people, but that doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
Give a defense of the place. Arlington is great. She is great. She has always been great. She was great when we first got here. Great elders, you see. Took a young man like me. I think I was like 25 years old, a kid. Brother Ed, remember this. And allow me to come up and begin to preach into, but you know, with a soft hand, they corrected me. They did all those things. They loved me. And I always say, if only preacher, if every young preacher can have it like I had it, man, it would be a blessing. Arlington is a great congregation, and I would tell anybody who will listen about her. You may come in and say, well, we don't see your pews all full. Well, you know, some of them goats left. Maybe the sheep stayed around. But what we do have are special people here. And you can be a part of it too. It's open for you. So have the attitude of a lamb and encourage people. People are heartbroken. People in this very city, I'm serious. They're tied to their congregation. They've been going there for years. Stuff is changing. They don't understand it. They think that, well, I got to be here. No, you don't. I know what I would do. I'm finding a congregation that is faithful to our Lord. I don't care what family or friends I'm leaving behind. I'm going to a place where they're going to preach God's word, and they're going to be faithful to it. Arlington is that. And that's what we say. We love God's word. We will teach God's word. We will not let anything on the outside come in to destroy God's word. We won't let anything on the inside go out that will destroy God's word. We're going to stand for that which is right. Encourage those precious souls to come back home. Just say a kind word to them. Yeah, there was a problem, but we all better now. Don't a sore get better? Broken hearts mended? Don't those things happen? We learn from it, we move on, and I am sincere when I say I believe that we are closer as a result of what happened. Man, we were humming along there when that came along. We were humming. Things were just fine. You know the devil wasn't going to be, he wasn't going to stand pat and let that happen. You know how he is. So again, the next time, we got news for the devil. The next time that we're well on our way, and we're doing fine now, we all look back and say, you know what? You remember what happened last time? We've seen this before. And that's not going to work, you see. And we'll do the best that we can. And I pray that God will bless us in our effort. So that's what the lesson is about. Good people did leave. Some good people stayed. That's just the way it is. That's the church, you see. But we have a purpose to reach out not only to those of our numbers who used to be here, but any and everybody. Amen. Your neighbors, your co-workers, all those people are hurting. They need a place to come where they can find truth. This is the place. Amen. Surely you're not ashamed of Arlington. I'm proud. I tell people, right, I go to the Arlington Church of Christ, the greatest people in the world. That's what I say. And if you don't believe me, come see. And I'll show you, you see? So that's why I ask all of you always be on your best behavior. You don't know what I've said to those people out there, you see? Come see. And you have never disappointed. It's a beautiful thing to be a part of the Arlington Church of Christ. If you're here tonight, you're not a child of God, we want you to be. You come by hearing the word, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We need to believe that word, Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 6. Repent of our sins, Luke chapter 13 and verses 3. Confess Jesus Christ be the Son of God, Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Remain faithful unto death, Revelation chapter 2, and the verse is 10. That's what it takes to become a child of God. You see, we want to encourage you to become a child of God. It is the right thing to do. There is a day of reckoning that is going to come. Jesus is going to sit on his throne, and he's going to separate those from the left to his right, the right to his left. There is going to be a great separation. Let us be found on the side where we hear that those beautiful words about those good and faithful servants that you've served me. That's what we're looking for, you see, and not the other way. If you're a child of God on tonight and you have not lived your life in such a way, you have not done things, you have not been as sweet, tender-hearted as you should be, change that, you see. That's what the church is all about. I love it when the Lord gives us opportunity that everyone that comes in this building, no matter how you come, you can leave in a right relationship with him. If you never obeyed the gospel, you can. If you have not lived according to the gospel, you can repent and be made right. You can. You can leave this place better off than you were when you come in. That's a great, great thing that can happen only in the Lord's church. If you need a prayer, you know someone else, why don't you come together, we stand and sing the invitational song.